John's simple little line, God is love. His simple little line may come closer than anything else in Scripture to capturing what Christianity is at its core. God is love. This says it all, sums it up. Sermon over. You wish. These three words are the beating heart of the Bible. In them is encapsulated the whole of that sweeping grand saga that starts in Eden and ends on the other side of eternity. God is love. This is the Cliff's Notes synopsis of the Old Testament stories and laws and commandments. God is love. This is the New Testament gospel in a nutshell. Everything we need to know about God, everything we need to know about God is contained within this one claim. And God is love. It tells us not only who God is, but who we are to be. As John goes on to say, God is love. So love one another. God is love. So love one another. This is our guiding star. This is our moral, spiritual, true north. God is love. So love one another. This orients us ethically. It turns us outward, and it teaches us what is our obligation to those whose paths we should cross, and to those even in far-flung places half a world away whom we shall never meet. God is love, so love one another. This is the bedrock belief upon which the church stands when it blesses marriages and preaches forgiveness and ministers to the poor and marches for justice. God is love, so love one another. This is the truth. This is the foundational truth from which all the rest of our religion flows. And it is the standard of faithfulness against which our religion is to be tested. So God is love. That's a pretty big deal. But it's sort of ethereal, no? What does it mean for God to be love? To actually be love? Because John does not say that love is one among many of God's attributes, or that love is an affection that God feels for us, in which case love would be something that God has. Right? But rather, John says that love is what God is. That love is something like the entirety of the genetic structure of God. That love is the whole enchilada here. That love is the very stuff that God is made of. That God is love. First of all, last of all, full stop, nothing but love, all the way down. But again, what does that mean? What does it mean for God to be love? Love only arises in the context of a relationship. You cannot have love in a vacuum. You cannot siphon off the love shared between a mother and a child, or a husband and a wife. You can't siphon off the love from a relationship and put it in a vat and pickle it and shelve it. Love cannot exist out there, but always only here, in some sort of in-between space, in between you and me, between you and another. Now, as a quick aside, I'm not saying that you cannot love your cat, Fluffy, who I'm sorry to say, folks, being by nature the nastiest, most standoffish of all God's creatures, is constitutionally incapable of loving you back. Just kidding, Harry. I'm not saying that you cannot love gardening or chocolate, because of course you can. But it's still the case that you who love and what you love share together in some semblance of a relationship. You're related to what you love. Love needs a subject in whom the love arises, and love needs an object on which the love rests. Because you cannot just love. You cannot just love generally. Love nothing at all. You love someone. You love something. Love attaches you to someone or to something. Love needs a self and an other. Love is always love between or love for. So when John writes that God is love, he cannot be saying that God is just love, that God is just love in general, only loftier and transcendent, like an immaterial fluff of warm and fuzzies. John cannot be saying that God is even the purest essence of love, that God is love distilled or boiled down. Because God is not condensed love, only in a really, really, really big can out beyond the farthest galaxy. Because that's not what love is. Love is not an abstraction. It's an activity. Love is a phenomenon, right? Love transpires in some sort of in-between space. Love is not so much something you have that you can have a hold on as it is something that happens between one and another. Remember, love cannot exist but in the context of a relationship. There is no love apart from the ones who love. There is no such thing as love untethered from the subject in whom love arises and the object on which love rests. Love is always between, is love between and love for. Love requires a self and another. Love logically, by definition, depends upon at least two somebodies who do the loving. And so if what John writes is true, if it is true that God is love, that God is this activity, that God is this phenomenon which transpires, which happens in some sort of an in-between space, between a self and an other, if it's true what John writes, if it is true that God is love, God must be, in some mysterious sense, God must be simultaneously a self and an other. God must be, in some mysterious sense, a subject and an object. God must be, in some mysterious sense, a sharing of and a sharing in love. God must be, in some mysterious sense, God must be a relationship. God must be a relationship of ones who love. One of the most beautiful imaginings of the Trinity, that boggling, mathematically bonkers idea that's got Christians claiming that God is both one and three, three in one and one in three, whatever that means. One of the most beautiful imaginings comes to us courtesy of St. Augustine. Augustine suggested that we think of the one triune God like so, as Father who loves, that is, who is the lover, as Christ the Son, who is the beloved, and as Holy Spirit, which is the bond of love between them. Lover, beloved, and the love between them. This is what the Trinity looks like, Augustine says. This is what God looks like, Augustine says. God is a web of love. Love given, love received, and love reciprocated. God is a relationship. God is a relationship of ones who love. God is one being who is mysteriously at once both self and other. God's own inner life is a kind of communion of lovers, is a sharing of love, an arising of love within one, and an offering of that love to another, and a joyous resting and delighting in that love as it is returned and offered again and again and again. God is a sharing of love. God always was, eternally was, a sharing of love. There never was a time when God was not a sharing of and a sharing in love. And so because it is only in the sharing, only in the glad circle of giving, receiving, and reciprocating that love is strengthened and sustained. And because God has had eons times infinity to share in love, we say that God's love is perfect, that it's pure, that God's love is crowned by all the blessings of absolute mutuality before which our own loves cannot but pale. Okay, so that's heavy, huh? That's somewhat heady. So let me cut to the chase. Here's the upshot in my mind to believing in the Trinity, believing in God as a lover and beloved and the bond of love between them. Believing that God is a relationship, is a family, is a household wherein love flourishes. Believing in God that way, and not as, you know, believing in God as some sort of never, never love, as an ultimate vagueness that exists only as a nice abstraction. It's the difference between love being a noun and love being a verb. It's the difference between seeing God's love as a principle or seeing that in God, love is something which is practiced and perfected. God is love, so love one another. This asks a lot less of us if love is a principle than God is love, so love one another asks of us if love is something that must be practiced and may be perfected. God is love. In the abstract, that becomes love one another in the abstract. But God is love as activity within God. God is love as an activity becomes love one another as activity. God is love, so love one another as abstract principle. It means shaking your head at the state of the world and tearing up during the nightly news, and then going back to dinner. It means complaining about politics or about that other party or about the state of the country and doing nothing about it, just knowing that you're right and that's great. And you know, maybe once in a while on a lunch break, you post an opinion piece to Facebook. But God is love, so love one another as action, as practice. It means going door-to-door canvassing. It means manning phone banks, donating money. It means voting. It means volunteering. In the home, maybe it means tough conversations. Maybe it means marriage counseling. Maybe it means a 12-step program. God is love, so love one another as action, as a practice. It means getting your hands dirty. It means getting your heart broken. It means getting busy. It means getting off your butt. It means doing the hard, often agonizingly, sacrificially hard work by which the love we feel for our families and for our friends and for our neighbors and for the needy and for our country and for those who are far off, by which the love we feel for them comes to be perfected, to be purified. Comes to be something more than mere sentiment. It is not that what Christianity is at its core. Amen.